You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Third and final hour now for your truly mercifully here. It's been a good show. It's also been a long show. I am counting down the minutes to 9 o'clock, not because I don't want to put in a full night's work, but I just want to get under the covers. That's exactly where Eddie the Bombardier Miller is right now, by the way. I've been texting with Eddie during the show, brainstorming about ideas for future broadcasts, and he's been checking in on his son boy, as it were. But Eddie says he's listening to the show laid back in his bed with his head on the pillow. Can you believe that? We got Keith Alexander on the phone. Again, I hate not having Keith and Eddie in with me in the studio tonight, but I also love them too much to kill them. And if they caught this, I'm not even over it yet. Not even close. I wouldn't wish that on them. But hey, another reason I wanted to come in tonight, it's the last show before the inauguration, that's true. It's also the last show before Michael King Day. And he was a conservative Republican, don't you know? That's what Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, William Bennett, and a whole bunch of other conservatives would have you believe. They tell us that King stood for freedom, liberty, and limited government. Conservatives love to proclaim that Bull Connor was a Democrat and Martin Luther King, he was the Republican. Take this, for instance, from the Heritage Foundation. They write that King recognized the tyrannical nature of government, that he would be standing shoulder to shoulder had he lived with Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Herman Cain, Alan West, and many others in an attempt to free not only blacks this time, but the entire nation from the very same government that was oppressing blacks during King's lifetime. Well, I will say this to that. If there's been any presidential candidate on any major ticket who believed in those things since World War II, with perhaps the exception of Donald Trump, it was Barry Goldwater. And he was the nominee of the Republicans, allegedly King's own party. So surely Martin Luther King must have supported and voted for Barry Goldwater, right? No. In fact, this conservative Republican, Martin Luther King, denounced Goldwater in the strongest possible terms in a speech he gave after he was given the Nobel Prize. He not only condemned Goldwater, he explicitly condemned Goldwater's message of liberty, freedom, and limited government. So that's pretty odd talk coming from a conservative Republican, don't you think? Martin Luther King said that Goldwater sought to pit whites against Negroes, quote unquote. Well, of course, Goldwater never sought to do that. He simply believed that it was unconstitutional for the federal government to force anyone, black or white, to do business with people that they didn't want to do business with. But now, if you want to read something really hilarious, go to our website on Tuesday and check this out. There's an article that we'll have up for you that quotes King's words about Goldwater. But then the so-called conservative author goes on to say that surely an older, wiser King would have likely been ashamed of himself for saying those things. As we say often, conservatives prefer fairy tales to reality. Right before Martin Luther King got shot, when he was older and presumably wiser, King was focusing on a, quote, more just distribution of income. In other words, a radical left-wing big government socialism. On August 31st, 1967, he declared that in a speech. So, yeah, I mean, can you see a guy who talked about poor people having the right to their fair share of the nation's resources calling Obama a socialist? That was even around the same time that King began demanding that the federal government provide everyone in the country with a minimum guaranteed income. That's right, forget about the minimum wage, which many conservatives oppose. King wanted a government-guaranteed minimum income for everyone. A year before his death in Memphis in 1968, in his Where Do We Go From Here speech, King wrote, "I'm now convinced that the simplest solution to poverty is to abolish it directly by a now widely discussed measure, the guaranteed income." So that's just, hey, that's just for fun. You can keep that. That's your conservative Martin Luther King, who stood for liberty and freedom and opposed big government and would be rallying against Obamacare with Sarah Palin. And there's a whole lot more stuff where that came from, Keith Alexander. How do conservatives say and write this stuff with a straight face? How do they look themselves in the mirror at night? But those things were the least of the reasons to be opposed to King. Let's get into his rabid anti-white racism. The fact that he was a plagiarist, a philanderer, a womanizer, a charlatan, an adulterer, and on and on and on. It's the beast as the saint.
Well, James, I heard you use the word shame in the same sentence with Martin Luther King. There's one quality that he did not have, which was a sense of shame. Basically, he would lie when the truth would sound better. He'd get on the roof to tell a lie rather than stand on the ground to tell the truth. He was basically a paid operative. He was in it for the money. One of the constants in his career was the presence of a Jewish communist from New York named Stanley Levison. Stanley Levison was a card-carrying member of the American Communist Party. Furthermore, in practical terms, he was the bag man for the Soviet communists back in the day. He was the guy that they gave money to with carte blanche authority to spend it in any way that he deemed best suited to advance the revolution here in the United States. And Levison, in his wisdom, concluded early on that Martin Luther King was one of the best ways he could spend his limited resources in America, and he basically provided Martin Luther King with the wherewithal to, basically neglect his job as a preacher with his church and concentrate on the civil rights movement. All of his legal expenses were paid, all of his travel, all of his room and board, food, walking around money, everything came through Levison. Now, both of the Kennedys, Jack and his brother Bobby, who was the attorney general at the time, had private meetings with Martin Luther King on several occasions and told him he had to ditch Stanley Levison, that it was going to come back to bite him, that J. Edgar Hoover knew who he was and what his connections and antecedents were, and that having him connect the civil rights movement with communism would be possibly fatal to the cause. Martin Luther King would lie right to their face, tell them that he was going to banish him from his inner circle, which he would do, but then mysteriously, maybe 3 or 6 months later, up popped Levison again in his coterie. And Levison was, he was the real connection. He was the source of the money. And Martin Luther King would not have done this had he not been paid and paid handsomely to do it. He would have reverted back to, preying on the women in his congregation or something like that, or making money some other way. But he wasn't going to do it without getting paid and getting paid handsomely. That's something I think that no one ever talks about when they talk about Martin Luther King today.
Well, you and I talked just briefly. I crawled out of bed long enough to get in touch with you for about 5 minutes earlier today. And we said that, listen, we're not going to let the King Day come and go without us getting a shot in. We have to do it. No one else will. This is our job. But we're not going to dwell the whole hour on it. Maybe a few more parting shots, and I'll direct you to some good resources where you can get the truth about King, and then we'll cover some other topics in this final hour of the night. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, so the King holiday, listen, what a joke. And now, if you didn't vote for that, or for the people that are still in positions of power that didn't vote for the King holiday, this is supposed to be like the great blemish on their record, John McCain being one who always worships at the altar of King and begs his Lord and Savior, Michael King, for forgiveness every year for not initially voting for the King holiday. To put Martin Luther King on par with George Washington and Jesus Christ as the only Americans who have holidays named
after them. Jesus Christ and above George Washington, both Jesus and Martin Luther King have a day, which is a holiday devoted just to them. George Washington has been relegated to sharing his honors with every other president under President's Day.
That you are correct. That is correct. Now, I guess you have Columbus Day, but basically that's just a day for self-flagellation now for whites.
Yeah, well, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, and rending of garments about the advent of the white race to the continents of North and South America. But, you know, the worship of people like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck and others for Martin Luther King basically can be distilled to one short passage from one short speech he made where he said that he looked forward to the day when his daughters would be judged in America by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. Now, this is an important factor to keep in mind. That is the way the civil rights movement was presented and sold to the American public in the 50s and 60s. That we were going to end racial discrimination and have a regime in which merit alone determined who got the good stuff in society, who got the promotions, who got the appointments, who got into highly selective colleges, universities, medical schools, law schools, things like that. And that was used early on, but it was a lie. And basically, the people at the Highlander Folk School, which both Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks attended, it was kind of like the Paris Island for civil rights workers, they acknowledged that. That was just a halfway house. We stayed there for about 15 minutes, I think, after the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and then moved seamlessly into a regime in which whites could be discriminated against with impunity as some type of reparations for things done by people long dead to the black race, or supposedly done to the black race in America. And we're still living under this affirmative action regime today. So basically, Martin Luther King's career and the worship of him by these conservative people like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck is based on a palpable lie. There's no, the last thing in the world that civil rights leaders like John Lewis today want is for people to be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, because they know that if that were the case, they would not have the exalted positions that they have now in government and in private industry and elsewhere.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And look, folks, you know, if you're listening to this show, you understand what our position on King is, and that we're probably not telling you anything about King that you don't already know. But for the benefit of those who may be tuning in for the first time and you want to learn the truth about Martin Luther King, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to run a short series on the truth about King, the real Martin Luther King. Again, everything about this guy was a phony, even his name. It wasn't Martin Luther, the great German reformist. He's not the father of the Reformation. His name's Michael King. He's just a two-bit race hustler.
And basically, and it may be that he didn't even know what he was saying, because everything that he is remembered for today, like his letter from the Birmingham jail or his I Have a Dream speech, was written by someone else and handed off to succeeding generations of Americans as being examples of his inherent genius. He wrote these things and whatnot. Nothing could be further from the truth. He was a cardboard cutout, a prop for Jewish power and influence, which was really the guiding force behind the civil rights movement, just like it's a guiding force for homosexual rights, radical feminism, climate change, and every other leftist radical egalitarian movement that has plagued America over the past 62 years.
And we're going to get into that a little bit later on this hour before the show ends. But basically, any form of degeneracy that one could involve himself in, King was involved in it. And again,
you have a pastor who is several deviation points lower in moral standing than the average member of his congregation. If you're going to pick somebody to set up as a plaster saint for any particular movement, try to find somebody that would limit their adulterous liaisons to at least one a week, maybe. Martin Luther King was just famous for it, and J. Edgar Hoover had the goods on him, and Senator John East of North Carolina, who Sam Francis worked for, and Jesse Helms of North Carolina, the two senators from North Carolina, when the King holiday was being proposed, tabulated all of this, copied it, and put a large, like bigger than the D.C. phone book, on the desk of all their Senate colleagues, which caused supposed conservative Daniel Patrick Moynihan of New York to sputter, "This is filth." Well, it was filth, but it was the truth about Martin Luther King's sexual escapades and other escapades, and those are the exact documents that have been under seal and will be under seal until the mid part of the 2020s by a federal judge to keep them away from the public, because if those got out and were confirmed, there is no way in the world that the King holiday would have been passed into law. And furthermore, it would cause such an uproar even today if they got out. I'm not holding my breath. I can see some machinations being made to keep those things secret, James.
Oh, absolutely. If anyone is holding their breath for the day to come when those are supposed to be unsealed, don't do it. Because I can guarantee you something's going to happen all of a sudden, and it's either not going to be unsealed or it's just going to be explained away as this was the
something.
The story will be this was the white racist establishment out to make King look bad. It's all lies. something of the sort. But I tell you, political correctness is a religion, and Martin Luther King is the god of political correctness of that religion. And every schoolboy and girl in the land goes and worships at his altar. They are taught to sing his praises, and any objective criticism, any questioning of the King dogma is it's bad news on that inquisitive mind.
Yep, it's you know, it's, what they're going to do is find he's the ultimate Pharisee, the whitewashed wall that's rotten right underneath the surface. And if that veneer were peeled away, it would cause so much it almost cause as much consternation as Donald Trump's election to president of the United States has caused.
Well, all we can do is all we can do, ladies and gentlemen. And here on the Political Cesspool, we're going to tell the truth, let the chips fall where they may, as we've done for over 12 years now. We don't have sacred cows here at TPC. We don't worship sacred cows. We eat them.
Sacred cows. This is
that's right.
Sacred
yeah.
Cows.
I would say we don't worship them. We eat them here at TPC. and this is literally, and this is one of the biggest ones. All right, we're going to shift gears for the last two segments of the show. Going to get Keith's take on some of the goings-on in Washington over the course of the past few days, some of Trump's selections and their hearings and other things. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Civil libertarian and transparency activist Glenn Greenwald is a longstanding opponent of the deep state, the self-sustaining covert government of which the CIA is the most visible element. He is also an outspoken critic of Donald Trump. A liberal in his political inclinations, Greenwald is alarmed by the way nearly everyone on the left has suddenly embraced the CIA out of reflexive partisanship. "The serious dangers posed by a Trump presidency are numerous and manifest," writes Greenwald in The Intercept. "There is a wide array of legitimate and effective tactics for combating those threats, from bipartisan congressional coalitions and constitutional legal challenges to citizen uprisings and sustained and aggressive civil disobedience. All of those strategies have periodically proven themselves effective in times of political crisis or authoritarian overreach. But cheering for the CIA and its shadowy allies to unilaterally subvert the U.S. election and impose its own policy dictates on the elected president is both warped and self-destructive," Greenwald advises. "For six decades, the deep state has produced the most shameful atrocities and systemic deceit. Embittered Clinton partisans and militant leftists have embraced the narrative that Trump was installed by the Russian government and that skepticism toward CIA's claims is unpatriotic." Greenwald replies that casually branding domestic adversaries who refuse to go along as traitors and disloyal foreign operatives is morally bankrupt and certain to backfire on those doing it. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Oh.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Going to switch gears just for a second, turn Keith loose. Keith, I wish I could remember what it was we talked about earlier this afternoon. There was something you wanted to talk about, and I remember it sounding pretty good. Do you remember what that was? It's been a rare day.
If you remember, several years ago, we commented on the show about Hollywood's project to make a biography movie regarding Frank Sinatra, and they were considering for the lead role Jamie Foxx, the black comedian, black performer. And yeah, we were talking about how ridiculous that was, how, you know, they'd have to change Frank Sinatra's nickname from Old Blue Eyes to Old Brown Eyes in this movie. Well, now, you know, Hollywood outdoes itself. You know, they're into transgenderism, and I guess that the next frontier for them is transracialism. They're now proposing a biography movie of Michael Jackson, and they are supposedly going to cast a white actor in the movie to be Michael Jackson, much to the consternation and outrage of black activists everywhere, including Michael's supposed children. One of them says she was very disappointed to learn this. But, you know, there's a kind of delicious irony about this when you consider that basically Michael Jackson did everything within his power to transform himself into a white person in his adult life. Numerous plastic surgeries, numerous medications, bleachings, things like this, all sorts of strange health habits, nose jobs, facial reconstructions, lightening of his complexion, and maybe his wishes come true in the afterlife, and he's going to be, remembered as a white person, which is apparently what he was aiming at. I can't understand any other reason for it. I remember seeing him when he was a little boy and a performer. He's really a kind of cute little black kid. And why he would mess with his appearance always, you know, basically puzzled me. I could not figure out why he did it. But that's Hollywood for you. Hollywood has got to take the road less traveled, and they're going to turn Michael Jackson loose on the next generation of people as a white person. Can you believe it?
Very little surprises me anymore. This is the world in which we live, Keith. What can I say? But
you know,
he was closer to a white person than he was closer to a white person than Jamie Foxx was to Frank Sinatra. That much is true. Now, hey, you were also saying something on the phone today about Jeff Sessions potentially being a secret weapon for Trump. What do you mean by that?
Well, not even a secret weapon for Trump, more a secret weapon for us. He is the one staunchly conservative Southerner that is among the nominees for high positions in the Trump cabinet as Attorney General. And I remember at first I was thinking he would make a great Secretary of State. I still maintain he would, but I think he can be even more valuable to us as members of the alt-right in his position as Attorney General. And I think that, you know, the thing that is going to make the scales fall from the eyes of a lot of people is that it's not going to be necessary for Trump to pass a lot of new laws in order to accomplish his announced ends and goals as president. For example, we have a piece of legislation already in place called the Secure Fence Act of 2007. Which was passed by Congress and is still the law. Like a lot of laws involving border security and immigration, it's blithely ignored by both the Bush administration before it and the Obama administration over the past 8 years. But it's there on the books, and basically it gives President Trump all the authority he needs to start building that wall on day one. On the day when you're going to be down there, on the 20th, as soon as he gets through, he can start ordering the contractors to, you know, load up the cement trucks, get the bricks out there, and start building that wall.
Hey, you know, Steve King, who is actually one of the decent Republican legislators, Steve King, congressman out of Iowa, tweeted a picture of his mock-up for the wall. He's trying to help Trump come up with some ideas of how this thing could be built. And this thing looked beautiful. It was gray. It was imposing. It was tall. It was thick, reinforced concrete with razor wire at the top.
Well,
and Steve King,
no doubt where he needs to look for his inspiration about how to build a very secure wall. Just look at the wall that the Israelis have built on the West
Bank.
There you go. I mean, that is that makes the Great Wall of China look like a picket fence. And
you're absolutely right. And if he will lean more on the decent Republicans like Jeff Sessions, like Steve King, and Steve King has really impressed in recent months. Steve King, you know, had a little dust up with the press last year for saying that everything whites do is racist or something something along those lines. And he never did back down for it. And he's one of the leading proponents for the wall and coming up with ideas on how it can be built logically, realistically. So
Trump has really set the bar high on that. He has shown that the emperor has no clothes. Basically, when they roll out their neutron bomb, as you call it, racism, that's when they do that, that's the biggest warhead in their arsenal. And if that doesn't take you down, then you're like Superman. Bullets are going to be bouncing off of you, and they haven't discovered kryptonite yet.
But what would you say to this? What would you say to this headline, Keith? John Lewis is the last person Donald Trump should be picking a fight with right now. As if Donald Trump can't handle John Lewis, this bloated blowfish, this charlatan hack, truly someone in the make and model mold of Martin Luther King. John Lewis, this they call him a civil rights legend. According to this newspaper article,
he hit the head too many times back in the day, or something happened to him. He's got about a room temperature IQ, and the guy is not smart. And Trump really hit him where he needed to. He got him below the belt with this. He hit him where it hurts when he said he needs to spend more time worrying about the problems in his district. His district is, you know, Haiti in America. You know, to put it mildly, that's where. And what does he do? He starts picking fights with the new president rather than, you know, if he was smart and really had the interests of his constituents in mind, he would be trying to ingratiate himself to Trump so he could get some federal money down there. Instead, he's picking fights with him. He is one of the people that's very opposed to Jeff Sessions' appointment as attorney general. But let me tell you, if he gets in, there's a dirty little secret that nobody wants the public to know about, and that is that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the hate crime law that was passed just a few years ago by Congress are written in race-neutral terms. They just, for example, the 64 Act prohibits racial discrimination in hiring, promotion, housing, all sorts of other things in various titles. Well, that means that discrimination against white people is prohibited by the letter of that law, just like discrimination against black people is.
So now, this is a key point because, of course, as it's applied, it's always applied to benefit blacks and to harm whites. But as the law was written, it is, as you mentioned, race neutral.
And that's the way it still is. And Sessions can come in and start prosecuting Harvard, Yale, and Yagnapatawpha Junior College for affirmative action programs if he so desired, and he could do it with the full, you know, just read the law. I'm seeking to get the courts to enforce the law as written. That would be perfect. The hate crimes law, too. The vast majority of hate crimes motivated by racial animus, are black-on-white crimes, like the one that we've reported on and has been widely reported on in Chicago by four black teenagers, or 18-year-olds, adults, actually, against a mentally retarded white man. You know, they basically were fixing to scalp him. I guess we're just all very fortunate it didn't turn out to be another Knoxville Hall or Wichita massacre. Look those up on Wikipedia if you don't know what they are. But, he could start prosecuting black criminals for hate crimes when they pick out white people and make racially insensitive comments about them, which is a common occurrence, just as it was in that Chicago situation. Just think of what a new day would dawn if that would happen. We actually start enforcing the law as it's written. What a novel idea, Jane.
All right, we'll pause there. One more segment, and believe it or not, folks, I've saved the worst for last. Worst for last, it's coming your way next.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so we teased you about this earlier. Miss Helsinki, that is the capital of Finland. Miss Helsinki just had its annual beauty pageant. And beauty is where egalitarianism goes to die, and the cold hand of nature cannot be denied. Unless there are judges involved who are seeking to advance political correctness. So basically, the city of Helsinki, Finland, held its annual Miss Helsinki pageant a few days ago. We got a picture of the 12 contestants. They're all very Nordic-looking, Finnish-looking young women. And then there's one Nigerian immigrant. Say again?
I said, in great shape, by the way.
Yeah, to say the least. Picture worth a thousand words and all that. You can go check it out at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on the Friday entry entitled Miss Helsinki. But you got these 11 or so Finnish supermodels, and then you got one Nigerian immigrant. Now, I would ask you, who do you think won the beauty pageant? But it'd be rhetorical at this point. I wouldn't have brought it up if there wasn't some absurdity to it. So, of course, Sephora Ikolaba, the Nigerian immigrant, won and was named Miss Helsinki.
And, you know, I've looked at that picture, Jamie, and she's not even an attractive black woman. What is going on, you know?
I wish I could tell you. There's a website called Return of Kings. There's a very good and in-depth analysis on this absurdity. Definitely worth a read. You can click over to that article from our entry, Miss Helsinki, at the Cesspool blog. But it's just another day. It's just another day.
Another indignity, another bowing of the knee to the false gods of political correctness, as you call them, James.
You know, I don't know if you're talking about the best qualified candidate getting the job or the scholarship, the best athlete gets the job on the team, the most beautiful woman wins the pageant. If there's any way they can circumvent the laws of nature, they will certainly push for it. And, I mean, obviously,
of celebrating diversity, James. You know, diversity trumps all. We have to have diversity, and facts and merit be damned.
And I don't know what's more absurd is that this black woman beat all the Finnish women to become Miss Helsinki, or the fact that she's not even Finnish at all. She's a Nigerian immigrant. So, there's that.
She's not even attractive. You know, there are plenty of attractive black women out there, okay? I'm going to, you know, have to go on record to say that, but she's not one of them. And how this happened, you know, this just shows you how dishonest our elites are and why we need somebody like Donald Trump at the helm rather than one of the usual suspects, one of those other 16 nominees that the Republicans put up to win the presidential nomination this last time, or anybody in the Democratic Party. I can't think of maybe James Webb and maybe some other hidden person somewhere has at least one foot grounded in common sense, but there are very many. I tell you what, it's like a mass psychosis, this political correctness.
Well, it gets worse.
It gets our government.
It gets more egregious. There underneath the Miss Helsinki photos, I threw in for good measure an equally preposterous news item. And it's a poster of Bruce Jenner modeling for his new cosmetic line. Now, keep in mind, you're supposed to watch your pronouns. You're supposed to refer to Bruce as Caitlyn, he as she, him as her, etc., her as whatever. You're supposed to refer to this person as a woman. Now, keep in mind, if you don't pretend that this cross-dresser
is supposed to aspire to look like Caitlyn now.
Exactly. Keep in mind that if you don't pretend that this cross-dresser is a woman, then you're the one with the problem. You're the one that's not hip. You're the one that's not with it. You're the one.
Caitlyn Jenner is hot, is the hottest thing that ever walked down the runway, then you're just a hater. You know that.
Now, how many legitimately beautiful women do not have their own line of cosmetics? I mean, obviously, hundreds of millions that would be more deserving than this freak. But so here on this poster, it's called MAC by Caitlyn Jenner, M-A-C. I don't know what that's supposed to stand for, but that's the name of his cosmetic line. And yes, I will refer to Bruce as he. He is a man. He is a cross-dresser. He's mentally ill. He's not Caitlyn. He's not a woman. But in this picture, for the poster of this cosmetic line, which is already at a mall near you, Keith, Scoop actually sent me a picture from one of the malls in his area where they've already got this out in store. So the poster, though, has Bruce Jenner looking in a mirror. He's got his hair curled, and he's putting on lipstick. And the thing that just jumped out to me instantly was his hands. These aren't feminine hands. These hands look like baseball mitts. They're very manly hands because guess what? He was a former Olympic athlete. So you got bruised with these ungodly hands putting on lipstick, wearing a bra. He's wearing a bra.
I was telling you earlier today about the Married with Children episode, you know, with Al Bundy and his next-door neighbor going into the sports bar, and they're looking at the mementos they had, and they had this hand in a plaster cast, and they said, the neighbor says, "Boy, who is that? That must be Will Chamberlain's hand." And Al Bundy goes over and reads, and he says, "Martina Navratilova."
You know, that really was a great show. They don't make shows like that anymore. I was a big fan of Married with Children, even when it was coming on in the late 80s and early 90s. I was in,
when I can catch the reruns, I watch it all the time. I love it.
I was in, I guess.
One of the few really funny shows that Hollywood has put out for TV in the last three decades.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And it's really spot on. A lot of it is. And, I mean, they play it up a little bit, but no. Ed O'Neill did a great job as Al Bundy. I mean, we're getting off course. I remember watching the last episode. I guess that was back in, 95, 96, something like that.
I think it was your favorite show of all time, if the truth were known, James.
Because Al doesn't eat vegetables?
Yeah. Al is your role model in life, face it.
That really was a funny show. But anyway, so Bruce Jenner, his cosmetic line is out. We actually have a very good article that was written by Gregory Hood, and we reposted it at our website. It's just entitled simply Normal. And this ties all the way back to Martin Luther King, Keith, at the top of the hour as we prepare not to celebrate but suffer through his holiday. Couldn't have gone to a lesser deserving person. But this is the end game of radical egalitarianism. We have this article by Gregory Hood. Everything that was once normal is now evil, and everything that was once evil is now normal. And he goes through this
and the only
litany.
Sin is intolerance. The only sin that remains is the sin of intolerance.
And now, I mean, you've got to pretend that Bruce Jenner's a woman if he decides he wakes up one morning and he
not
is.
Not only that, Bruce Jenner is the standard for feminine beauty now.
That's right. And if you don't get on board with that, if you don't just gush and ooh and ah about how courageous Bruce Jenner is. Excuse me, you'd have to refer to him as Caitlyn and pretend he's
Bruce Jenner is. We're all supposed to sign off on the fact that, man, you know, I'm really attracted to Bruce Jenner. Sorry. What is going on, man? I mean, you can't make it up. The truth is stranger than fiction nowadays.
Hey, if you want to see the picture of Bruce modeling his cosmetic line for yourself, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on the entry for Miss Helsinki on Friday, and we threw in the Bruce Jenner poster as an add-on bonus.
Jenner would fool anybody, even a guy that was at the bar at closing time with beer goggles on, man. You know,
Well, I don't know if he got implants or what's going on, but he's actually got pretty good cleavage in this picture. I mean, you know, just from a cleavage point of view in this.
Like you said, those hands are a giveaway. There's not a lot you can do about those hands.
I mean, if you look just at the cleavage and not the face or the hands, of course, a corset is going to push that up a little bit, and it could be Photoshopped, but God knows what this man has done to mutilate himself.
You've got to give him a little bit of slack. Anybody, if you were married to a Kardashian, it might drive you over the edge too, James. You
know, God forbid. That's right. That's right. Yeah, he didn't have an easy life being married to Chris Kardashian.
You imagine that? You talk about a cesspool of perversion. That family.
Hey, but once again, every time we're mentioned in the press, it's the evil of white racism. We are the epitome of it here. A group of God-fearing family men are the epitome of evil, but Bruce Jenner is the model of feminine beauty. The Kardashians are the model family. If you don't believe me, just watch their show on E, how they're presented. It's the cool thing. It's the way everybody should
be. Trump's family, of course, is terrible. Trump's beautiful, talented children are a disgrace.
All right. Keith, thank you so much. Love you, buddy. I'll give you a call tomorrow if I can make it home, and we'll reassess. Everybody else, will talk to you next week. Good night. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you.